Unit 7. Focus 1. Language Skills. Section 1. Model Passage Reading. Realistic Dream.
Eagerly awaiting the last school bell to sound, I took note of the time and date. 2:45 p.m. on May 29, 1986, the last day of my junior year in high school. In 5 more minutes, I would have one more year to complete before graduation. Sitting squeamishly in my desk, I noticed my obese size. All 300 pounds of it. "Man," I said to myself, "you think you might want to try and diet." Easier said than done. I had dieted since the 4th grade to no avail. Life as a fat person had afforded me very few friends, little socialization with my peers, and made me the target of more fat jokes and nicknames than I care to remember. Classmates, so-called friends, family, and society at large, looked at me as though I were an alien not entitled to live. The last 9 years of this oversized condition had imploded a wave of depression in my life, causing me to withdraw from any interaction with others. It was still too early to tell what emotional and/or physical scars would impact my future. Despite this shortcoming, I held faith that the summer of 1986, about to be bestowed upon me, would be life-changing. Charisma, self-discipline, compulsive behavior, and perseverance were about to take a strong hold on my life as I knew it. The bell rang. I moved as quickly as my jelly-like body would allow. Within seconds, I was in my car, determined to begin a new life. As I drove away, I began to psych myself out for what was about to be my largest undertaking ever. I said over and over again, "This summer, Chris, your dreams are going to come true. A fat boy will no longer exist. Remember, if you want your life to change, you must take action." That was exactly what I did. The very next day, I began one of the most rigid diets lasting until the Thanksgiving holidays of 1986. A turning point in my life was on the horizon. The following day, after the completion of school, I began a diet of fasting without a solid piece of food for 21 days. Finally, on June 20th, 1986, my birthday, I knew I'd better eat something. My birthday that year was a beautiful day. A day filled with spaghetti, lasagna, poor boys, cakes, cookies, and more. The next day, however, I remained on track, starting a second go-round of fasting for 8 more days, followed by another day of food. These 8-day fasting cycles, followed by a day of eating on the 9th day, became a way of life that summer. This new form of living ultimately allowed me to achieve my lifelong dream, a normal life without obesity. Before I knew it, the summer of 1986 came to an end. For the first time ever, shopping for school clothes actually became enjoyable. It was the first year in a very long time that I wasn't required to shop at the big and fat clothing store. In a 3-month period, I lost 95 pounds, leaving my weight at 205 pounds on the first day back to school. My waist size, shrinking from a 48 to a 38, made me feel great. My excitement and zest for life grew with energy as each pound fell from my body. The first day of my senior year approached rapidly. Suddenly, I became excited about going back to school. The dream day of my life was about to occur. I would walk the halls with confidence, resilience, self-esteem, and a sense of accomplishment. When I entered the corridor of my high school, people began to take note, point fingers, and look with amazement. It was the best of natural highs. I'll never forget it. One classmate came up to me in the hall and said, "Excuse me, were you in my art class last year?" "Yes, I was," I replied. "My goodness, did you lose a whole lot of weight?" she said. "Yes," I replied. "Man, you look great," she said. I thanked her for the very nice compliment and continued walking down the hall. I didn't think I'd ever forget that conversation or that classmate. She did more for me than she would ever know. She gave me the biggest confidence boost I'd ever received. Eventually, I would lose another 30 pounds, bringing my waist size down to a 34. As I reflected back on the summer of 1986, I knew the weight loss had changed my life. I emerged from a fat, depressed child with deep physical and emotional scars to a young man eager to accept and take on life's greatest challenges. These physical and emotional scars shaped my life as a person today. These scars required me to take a look at myself and be more accepting and protecting of other people's inadequacies, insecurities, and differences. I now know, with hindsight, that this weight loss year was not all about losing weight. It was about facing hardships and overcoming. It was about relying on internal strengths of self-discipline, courage, and perseverance. It was about a dream becoming a reality.
New words.
Junior.
Squeamishly.
Obese.
Diet.
Socialization.
Nickname.
Alien.
Entitle.
Implode.
Withdraw.
Scar.
Shortcoming.
Bestow.
Charisma.
Compulsive.
Jelly.
Psych.
Undertaking.
Rigid.
Spaghetti.
Lasagna.
Poor boy.
Cookie.
Cycle.
Waste.
Shrink.
Zest.
Resilience.
Self-esteem.
Compliment.
Boost.
Reflect.
Hindsight.
Internal.
Reality.
Section 2. Listening and speaking. Listening.
1. Listen to a conversation on the text only once, and then fill in the blanks according to what you've just heard.
Hi, Chris. Glad to meet you again.
Hi, Susan. Glad to meet you, too.
Chris, it seems you have lost a whole lot of weight during the vacation.
Yes, indeed.
How did you manage to do that? I have tried to lose weight many times, but to no avail.
I went on a diet this summer.
Then you must have had a really rigid diet.
Absolutely. Anyhow, my waist shrank.
You must have a sense of accomplishment now.
That's true. And your compliment gives the biggest confidence boost I've ever received.
But you really look great now.
2. Listen to a passage twice, and then choose the best answer to each question.
Why are so many people overweight, despite the current fitness craze?
I don't know, but there are some factors that affect people's size.
What are they?
One study said that low-income groups have a higher percentage of overweight people than high-income families.
Are there any other factors?
Yes. The study also said that the hotter the climate, the lower the percentage of obese people.
That makes sense. When it's hot, you don't feel like eating a lot.
And the diet has a lot of fat and oil. We eat a lot of meat. And also we eat more sugar and junk food. But there is another reason why so many people are fat.
What's that?
Nobody exercises anymore, not even kids. The average American home has the TV on for 6 hours a day.
Wow, no wonder people are so fat. You don't get enough exercise. Say, John, aren't you getting a little bigger in the waist?
Yeah, I guess so.
You really need to watch what you eat and get some exercise.
Hey, I started a diet and lost 10 pounds.
So what happened?
Well, I quit and gained it back, plus 5 pounds.
You should have kept trying.
Questions. 1. Which of the following is not a factor that affects weight according to the conversation?
Two. Which kind of food will not result in obesity?
Three. Which of the following statements is true?
Four. Which of the following statements about John is not true?
Five. What is the relationship between the two speakers?
1. Why are so many people overweight despite the current fitness craze?
I don't know, but there are some factors that affect people's size.
What are they?
One study said that low-income groups have a higher percentage of overweight people than high-income families.
Are there any other factors?
Yes. The study also said that the hotter the climate, the lower the percentage of obese people.
That makes sense. When it's hot, you don't feel like eating a lot.
And the diet has a lot of fat and oil. We eat a lot of meat, and also we eat more sugar and junk food. But there is another reason why so many people are fat.
What's that?
Nobody exercises anymore, not even kids. The average American home has the TV on for 6 hours a day.
Wow, no wonder people are so fat. You don't get enough exercise. Say, John, aren't you getting a little bigger in the waist?
Yeah, I guess so.
You really need to watch what you eat and get some exercise.
Hey, I started a diet and lost 10 pounds.
So what happened?
Well, I quit and gained it back, plus 5 pounds.
You should have kept trying.
Questions. 1. Which of the following is not a factor that affects weight according to the conversation?
2. Which kind of food will not result in obesity?
3. Which of the following statements is true?
4. Which of the following statements about John is not true?
5. What is the relationship between the two speakers? 3. Listen to a passage twice, and then choose the best answer to each question.
If you want to lose weight, it will be a good idea to have 3 good meals each day to make your stomach satisfied most of the time. By doing this, you will find it much easier to keep away from those high-calorie foods which look so delicious. It is not wise to try to say no to these foods with an empty stomach, for in such a case, you would be fighting with the great force, hunger, a force too great for us to win the match. Last year, I had put on so much weight that when I went back to my hometown in the summer holiday, almost every friend who met me let out a cry. I decided to go on a diet. With a strong determination, I had only a little food those days. For each meal, I simply had a little porridge and some vegetables. Sure enough, with so little food in my stomach, I was haunted by hunger. However, I was not helpless. Whenever I felt hungry, I drank some water and kept my mind busy by watching TV. I did this for 2 months, and the result was good. I managed to lose a lot of weight. I was very proud of the triumph, but it was not long before I came to realize that was not the end of the match. After returning to school, I began to eat more and more. While I still had very little at meals, I submit to the temptations of dessert again and again. After a month, I became even heavier than I had been before the summer vacation. Then I changed the warfare. I allowed myself the luxury of eating rice and vegetables, sometimes even meat, to my heart's content. In addition to that, I was always willing to give myself some low-calorie foods, such as fruit, when I was hungry. I have done this for 3 months, and it really works. Cakes and bread no longer appeal to me very much. Now I have lost all the weight I want to lose.
Questions. 1. Which method is mentioned by the speaker to lose weight?
2. How did the speaker manage to lose weight during the summer holiday?
3. Why did the speaker get heavier after returning to school?
4. Which one is not the method the speaker used to lose weight after returning to school?
5. What can you infer from the passage?
'If you want to lose weight, it will be a good idea to have 3 good meals each day to make your stomach satisfied most of the time. By doing this, you will find it much easier to keep away from those high-calorie foods which look so delicious. It is not wise to try to say no to these foods with an empty stomach, for in such a case, you would be fighting with the great force hunger, a force too great for us to win the match. Last year, I had put on so much weight that when I went back to my hometown in the summer holiday, almost every friend who met me let out a cry. I decided to go on a diet. With a strong determination, I had only a little food those days. For each meal, I simply had a little porridge and some vegetables. Sure enough, with so little food in my stomach, I was haunted by hunger. However, I was not helpless. Whenever I felt hungry, I drank some water and kept my mind busy by watching TV. I did this for 2 months, and the result was good. I managed to lose a lot of weight. I was very proud of the triumph, but it was not long before I came to realize that was not the end of the match. After returning to school, I began to eat more and more. While I still had very little at meals, I submit to the temptations of dessert again and again. After a month, I became even heavier than I had been before the summer vacation. Then I changed the warfare. I allowed myself the luxury of eating rice and vegetables, sometimes even meat, to my heart's content. In addition to that, I was always willing to give myself some low-calorie foods, such as fruit, when I was hungry. I have done this for 3 months, and it really works. Cakes and bread no longer appeal to me very much. Now I have lost all the weight I want to lose.
Questions. 1. Which method is mentioned by the speaker to lose weight?
2. How did the speaker manage to lose weight during the summer holiday?
3. Why did the speaker get heavier after returning to school?
4. Which one is not the method the speaker used to lose weight after returning to school?
5. What can you infer from the passage? Speaking. Reference answer.
I have a dream. Everyone has his own dream, hoping to become a scientist, a doctor, a teacher, or even the chairman of their country. Since I was young, I've been hoping to be an official in the government organizations. As an official, I can serve my people wholeheartedly. It is undeniable that with the rapid development of the market economy, money plays a more and more important role in society. It even seems that almost everything can be measured by money. But right in the market economy of our country, more and more people have emerged who don't see money as the most important thing, but go to great lengths to serve the people. Perhaps some think of them as fools, but they are the very people our society needs. As a college student of the new century, we should do our best to serve the people. Having received higher education does not mean that we are superior to others. We are all from the people and should undoubtedly serve the people. I firmly believe that I can help build China with economic prosperity, social progress, political stability, and beautiful landscape. Focus 2. Language Use. Section 1. Practical Reading. A Monologue of Donald Trump, America's Greatest Real Estate Developer.
I was born on June 14th, 1946, Flag Day. So that makes me 54 years young, and for the majority of those years, I have been the real estate king of New York City. I am the third generation of an entrepreneurial family. I believe their achievements and success reflect the biggest change America has seen, as well as proving that America is the land of opportunity. My grandfather came to America with one suitcase and a great deal of faith and guts. He was able to see the demand of his time and jump on it. My grandfather became a saloon keeper during the Klondike Rush. He made the bulk of his money this way. He later opened a storefront real estate operation in Queens. My father followed in his footsteps, but he took it a step further. My father started building houses for neighbors while he was still in high school, and soon discovered how to use the government's housing subsidies and loopholes to make his money. My father made his fortune this way and provided me with the startup capital I needed to pursue my ambitions. I possess the ability of identifying profitable ventures a mile away, something I must admit I inherited from my father, Fred Trump. I already learned how to be a good real estate developer from my father, but I wanted more. I wanted to be a world-famous developer. I wanted my name to be well-known. I had set my eyes on New York City, and I knew this would be my playground. A project, I must admit, my father would never have the courage or aggression needed to take it on. As a result of this fire and ambition burning inside of me, my first venture was very encouraging, in which I made close to $6 million in profits. This led to so many other wonderful money-making schemes. As a young boy, I remember that life's highest priorities among my family was to remember to turn out all the lights in the house and eat every single mouthful served on my plate, and always be mindful of the poor. I remember when visiting my father's building sites as a young boy, my siblings and I would collect cans for our 5-cent deposits. We all had summer jobs and paper routes, and my father insisted on this. The only time my father showed any leniency was when it rained, and he would let us use the limousine to do our paper routes in the morning. I never realized my family's wealth until I was much older, and my family's wealth began to distance other children from me. When I was 13, I was sent to a military academy. This is the first place where I believe Donald Trump, America, knows was born. At the military academy, I encountered the encouragement of competitiveness and aggression. Finally, I found myself in a place where winning mattered, and I immersed myself into it. This was my true calling, to compete, to excel, and to win. I was great at everything I did, and better than all my peers at it. I was not afraid to compete and be aggressive. I hated to lose then, and I still hate to lose now. After my military academy years, I attended Fordham University for 2 years and received mediocre grades, but I did not really care for this institution. My sights were set on Wharton. Wharton had one of the few real estate departments being offered at a university at that time. I instantly knew this was my true calling. Education was the biggest demand my father had on me, and he wanted me to get my degree. Real estate was the only thing I could see myself studying. Doing this was easy after a lifetime of visiting my father's building sites and listening to my father's telephone calls. I wish my adult life had been this easy. There I was. I had Marla, Ivana, the Taj, my yacht, the Rail Yards Project, the Plaza Hotel, the Trump Shuttle, the Trump Plaza of the Palm Beaches, and the Trump Palace on my mind, and I ran out of answers, and my infallible strategies had turned their backs on me. Although I had all these assets, I was near bankruptcy. I felt everything was spinning out of control. I didn't know how long this down spiral was to keep going. I finally got my ass up and grabbed the bull by the horns. I made my rounds and called in a few outstanding favors. Step by step, inch by inch, I began renegotiating my loan terms to be more favorable and trying to drop off my most unprofitable holdings. I'm such a genius that instead of being at the mercy of my creditors, I was getting the better of them, and they were helping me. I held so much debt that if I declared bankruptcy, the banks would probably fail as well. I, Donald Trump, who used my name and fame as leverage to obtain huge loans and build large debt, walked away from a near bankruptcy unscathed. A new age has arrived, and ladies and gentlemen, I have made that possible. I alone have provided the most unforgettable era, and it is bigger than the gold rush. So, my dear colleagues, hold on to your hats and give way to this new virtual economy, which will prove to be very successful and be a dominant presence for years to come. And, my dear colleagues and admirers, whatever else I have up my sleeve, I will leave to your imaginations.
New words.
Entrepreneurial.
Gut.
Saloon.
Subsidy.
Loophole.
Startup.
Project.
Aggression.
Sibling.
Leniency.
Limousine.
Encounter.
Immerse.
Excel.
Mediocre.
Yacht.
Infallible.
Spin.
Ass.
Bull.
Horn.
Genius.
Leverage.
Unscathed.
Dominant.
Proper nouns.
Donald Trump.
Flag Day.
Real Estate King.
Klondike Rush.
Queens.
Fred Trump.
Fordham University.
Wharton.
Marla.
Ivana.
The Taj.
The Trump Shuttle.
The Trump Plaza of the Palm Beaches.
The Trump Palace.
Gold Rush.